Hello and welcome to this week's livecast and this month's special e-newsletter edition of the livecast. I'm Jamie from Stonemaier Games, and I'm here today to discuss the e-newsletter, which I posted the link in the description here, to answer your questions and to discuss a variety of random topics, just things that have been going on for the last 2 weeks, really, because last week I was in Virginia to visit my parents and my siblings, and so I wasn't available. I was actually driving back to St. Louis on last Wednesday, so I wasn't able to do the live cast. So I hope you had a wonderful holiday week if you celebrated holidays last week, and at the very least, a happy New Year's to everyone here. I hope you had a great New Year's. I went over to a little like house party where we were all a little nervous the whole time. We were all vaccinated, mostly boosted. The weather was very nice, so we hung outside for most of it and did masking inside. But with Omicron, we were all, I don't know, a little nervous about it. And fortunately, I haven't heard anything that anyone at this maybe 15 person gathering got any kind of sickness. So we're doing well. I hope you are staying healthy as well. Good morning, Todd, Tony, Dominic. Thanks for joining me today. Dominic says that he likes the little hints that I posted in this month's e-newsletter. Obviously, I'm not going to spoil any of those, but they present some riddles for you to think about over the upcoming year of things that I hinted at for 2022. That's in the e-newsletter in the very beginning of it, the 2022 preview. Alex says he also enjoyed the 2022 preview. Shaked says, howdy from Israel. Good to see you today. What is going on today? So one of the big announcements in the e-newsletter is that I announced the second promo realm for Rolling Realms. And I wasn't actually planning on doing it this month, but one of the products that we have in the works is, I don't want to say delayed, it's just taking, I guess it is literally a delay. The freight shipping for it is taking longer than we thought. And so I was hoping to announce that product today, but the freight shipping is not on track to arrive at our various fulfillment centers in time for a February 2nd pre-order. So instead, I'm hoping to announce that product on February 2nd and then do the pre-order the next month. So instead, this month I announced the new realm for Rolling Realms, the Rolling Realms realm for Rolling Realms. So this is one that I will be live playing today for the first time. I know no one has it yet, but it is available on our web store now, and I'll be live playing it and showing it on a live cast later this afternoon. But yeah, it is a realm for Rolling Realms, where you can write a number on any of these three worlds that you have up here, on any of the three faces, and you're basically trying to, you score 1 star per complete world whose faces each have a different number. And then you score a star per complete world whose sum is the same as another world. So ideally you would have all the sums of each world. So like this world would add up to say 6. This one would also add up to 6. This one would also add up to 6. But they would have different numbers on each of the faces in those realms. And whenever you do write a number on one of the realms, you mark off a resource below it and gain that resource right away. It's kind of a meta realm because we wanted to do a realm based on all Stonemaier games, and Rolling Realms is now a Stonemaier game, so we did a Rolling Realms realm for Rolling Realms. And I put in the newsletter, I try to make this very clear that we're making plenty of all of these promos, and so if you don't have anything else that you want to buy from Stonemaier games at this time, rather than pay for a promo pack and pay for the shipping just for that promo pack, you can wait a little while until there's another product of ours that you want to buy. Or if you've been waiting to buy another product on our website, you can combine them to save on shipping. I don't want you to have the fear of missing out aspect of it. And if we do somehow sell out, which I highly doubt for a long time, we'll make more. So please don't, unless you really want to have the promo pack, which I also appreciate, just wait until the right time to buy it and we'll be here for you. The product will still be here for you. Let's see, Freddie says that he hope all is well and can't wait to hear more about Stonemaier Games news throughout the year. Yeah, I can't wait to share it as we have things ready throughout the year. Let's see. Carlos says that he's impressed with the Rolling Realm promo pack. It's amazing how different each of the promo packs feel from the other realms. And he says, it seems that you might be able to start talking about Codename Sale next month. That's what the progress chart would indicate. I'm not necessarily saying that, but I'm hoping that we will talk about a new product at the beginning of February. Carlos also said, am I gonna do a Tales from Production video for Tapestry now that Arts and Architecture is going to retail? So the thing about the Tales of Production, I've done a few of these videos. They are videos that I film when I dig through all the components that went into making our games, in my closet, my cabinet of secrets behind me here, all the old components. I dig through them and I show them off on camera and I tell stories about that game. But for all the games that I haven't already covered, those components are long gone. They're long recycled, they're long thrown away or given away at this point. So I think I can only do Tales from Production for new games that we're working on, but I do hope to do that. I like the game that I hope to announce in the next month or so, I do have prototype components from that and early production components from that, and so I hope to do it for that game. Let's see. Justin says, "What's my breakfast of choice?" I eat pretty much the same breakfast every day, and that is a little bowl of instant oatmeal. I found that just a warm bowl of oatmeal is a great way to start my day, and so I usually have that. And I usually have a little cup of coffee filled like, so it's a small cup, it's filled like that much. And today I treated myself a little bit. Usually I just make coffee with a French press, but today I ran over to Starbucks and got their new pistachio blend, so I'm really excited about that. And that reminds me, my chocolate of the day today, someone very kindly sent me a box of See's chocolates. That's SEE, See's chocolates from California. And I don't actually know who did it. The person who usually or has sent me See's chocolates in the past, Mitchell, said that it wasn't him. So it was somebody else who very kindly sent me See's chocolates. Megan and I have been enjoying them very much. And so thank you for that. If you were that person, I don't know who you are, but I really appreciate that. Sean says that he's stoked to finally get tracking here soon on his order that had a Scythe legendary box. Yeah, thank you so much for your patience with that, Sean. For everyone who's been waiting for an order that you placed back in October when we thought that that delivery for these items was scheduled for a few days later, lesson learned. Really, one thing that we're going to embrace in 2022 is unless we actually absolutely have the product at our fulfillment center, we're not going to sell it. Because we don't want to run into this situation again. I really do appreciate your patience, Sean, and I think the other 600 people who ordered the legendary box or the metal mechs, let me look at the list because they're all back in stock now. The Wingspan neoprene playmat, the Tuscany Essential, Wingspan European, Wingspan Oceania. Thank you so much for being patient about that. And we do finally have them back in stock in the US. I think they were mostly in stock at our other fulfillment centers around the world. So that's one of the good things about us having four separate web stores now. I hope to avoid that problem in 2022, even though freight shipping, I think, will remain very slow for 2022. We just won't let you know about stuff until it's actually arrived, and we won't say it's back in stock until it actually literally is back in stock. Yeah. That's on us. Again, I appreciate your patience. Tim says, he hopes I enjoyed the holidays. Thank you, Tim. I hope you had a wonderful holidays as well with your family, your new daughter. Corey has a nice note here, and Corey, Corey sent me a nice note over the weekend. That meant a lot to me. Corey, I want to talk about what the note says, unless you want to share it in the comments below here. Thank you so much for sending that note, and that meant a lot to me. I'll leave it at that because I know there's a lot you put a lot of your heart into that note, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Allie says, "Do you know if when Between Two Castles will be back in stock?" I don't know exactly, Allie. We should. I guess maybe we recently did sell out of that. I wasn't anticipating that necessarily, but I will check on that to see when it is back in stock. I don't know offhand when the next reprint will arrive, but I think the earliest would be a couple months from now. Yeah. So you might want to look at other retailers for Between Two Castles if you are looking to get it. I'll make a note about that. Thank you for asking about it. Cody says, "I know you aren't really a solo gamer, but have you checked out Final Girl? I love the modularity and its stripping with theme." I have listened to podcasts about it. Like I love the One Stop Co-op Shop. They talked about Final Girl. And I'm open to trying it. Maybe playing it co-op with another player, just us acting as one player. I'm open to doing that. But I currently don't have the game and don't have access to it. What have I been playing lately? I played with my family, I played Just One and Rolling Realms. And we also played a few rounds of Mario Kart. My brother-in-law has the old school Mario Kart 64 that I used to play a lot in college, and we got to play that a little bit over the holiday. We also played, I'm looking through my list here. What else did I play? Those were the main things. Oh, over the weekend, I played Small World of Warcraft with a friend and his son and played a little bit of Exploding Kittens with them as well. And yeah, I think those are the only games that I played in the last. Oh, no, I am forgetting some other games. Megan's brother and sister-in-law were in town for a few days last week after we got back from Virginia. They were here in St. Louis. And we definitely played some games with them. We played Role Player. We played. What else did we play? I'm completely blanking on what we played over the week over the weekend with them. Yeah, but we played some good games with them. I can't believe. Oh, we played Cascadia. I've played Cascadia a few times. That was maybe the new to me game that I played a couple times over the last week, and really enjoying that. And I also filmed. Speaking of Cascadia, I filmed my top 10 games of 2021 video, and that will go live this Sunday. My video from this past week were my top 12 favorite games where you get to feel a little sneaky. I have found that I really like being a little sneaky in games. I don't like to be sneaky in real life at all, but in games, that's kind of my outlet to be a little bit sneaky, have a little bit of like hidden information or a little bit of be a little wily in games. And so I did a top 12 list about that. So if you enjoy being a little sneaky in games, feel free to check out my video from this past Sunday. Tim says that he ordered the new Promo Realm along with the Metal Mechs and the Legendary Box. Well, that's a big order, Tim. Thank you for doing that. Tim says, are all the Scythe promos on MeepleSource? They are. We are working on something. So in the near future, maybe a couple of months from now, we will have the promo cards from Scythe in a consolidated pack on our web store. But the promo coins, we're just gonna continue to sell them to MeepleSource and they can sell them as they wish. I think it could be a little fiddly if we started selling those coins, and we kind of have a long-standing partnership with MeepleSource to sell those coins. So to answer your question, all the promos are on MeepleSource, but in the fairly near future, we will have the promo cards from Scythe in a consolidated pack on our web store. I'll check on when that's coming in. We started making it a while ago, so I'm not quite sure why it's taken so long. So yeah, we'll find out. Dusty says that he's unable to participate live because he really enjoyed this month's e-newsletter. Probably all those hints. Dusty loves trying to predict the future of Stonemaier Games, and I hope you have fun with the riddles that I present in that I presented in the newsletter, Dusty. I'll go over more of the e-newsletter stuff in a minute. So far, I've talked about I didn't reveal anything, but I mentioned that there was a preview, a sneaky riddle-filled preview of stuff that is coming in 2022 from Stonemaier Games. I talked about the new Rolling Realms Realm for Rolling Realms promo. That's in the newsletter, and I'll go over some other topics in a minute once I catch up on questions. Sean says, do I have any suggestions for nice organizers for the Legendary Box and for Wingspan? I don't have my finger on the pulse of third-party organizers, Sean. I think Folded Space, I've heard that they do a good job. Meeple Realty, I've heard, does a pretty good job. There's one company I won't mention here that I would not recommend, but I don't also want to go out of my way to not recommend them. But I didn't mention it among those two companies there. Dominic says that over the weekend he got to play Code. Oh, and I will say, to Sean, about Wingspan. We are working on what we're calling the Wingspan Nesting Box, which is a big box and an organizer. No gameplay content, just a big box and an organizer for all past, present, and future Wingspan stuff. So you might want to look into that on our website. There is a full write-up on our website about what that is. So you might want to look into that before you invest in a third-party insert. However, if you have already invested in a third-party insert, we've designed this big box so that you can remove some of the custom trays that we've made for it and plop and fit into it custom trays from other companies. So your money is not wasted either way. Let's see. Chad says he loves being sneaky in Scythe. Cody says, do you think there would ever be a new mini golf course for the Rolling Realms solo mode that could incorporate the Promo Realms? I have asked the Altama Factory team to make that. I would love to have that as an option, kind of a replayable option for anyone who wants to play like over and over again, mini golf over and over again within the Rolling Realms world. So they are working on that. Yeah. Gerson says that he's been enjoying a lot of Tapestry on Board Game Arena. I'm glad to hear that. Any chance of allowing all the tracks to line up? It's already a different experience from analog play, so it seems like a neat way to adapt to the new medium. That's an interesting question, Grayson. I remember talking about that with Board Game Arena when they were creating the board for it. And there was a reason why we didn't do it, but I can't remember. So feel free, I think it's still in beta. So feel free to suggest that. If they hear that from enough people, they might consider doing that. I don't really have much control. I can offer suggestions, but I don't have control over the interface or the design or anything like that. It's all Board Game Arena. All right, I'm almost calling up on questions, so I'll come back in a second. But a few other topics that I mentioned in the newsletter is that there is a Wingspan rule pop now available. If you're not familiar with that term, a rule pop is this web app that I forget the person's name who created it, but he's created these interactive web-based rules for a few different games now, where you can really, really easily go to the single page and click on a little button that says like, I don't know, end of round abilities, and you can read everything that you need to know about that. And I think he's even included like FAQs in each section of that page. So if you're ever looking for a question for Wingspan, while you're welcome to post on the Wingspan Facebook group or the Board Game Geek or the Stonemaier Games website, you might also check out the Rule Pop page. That's noted in the e-newsletter. I think it's going to be really helpful for people looking up rules questions. I linked to the year in review post that I made recently about kind of posting some highlights from each month in Stonemaier Games. So there's a link to that in the newsletter. There's also a link to the demographic survey results. So if you filled out the demographic survey in the newsletter a month ago, you can see the blog post that I wrote about the results for them. I also recently, so we kind of have three big categories that we're trying to do better at Stonemaier Games and really actively trying to be better at them. And one is diversity, Black Lives Matter, BIPOC, diversity, inclusion, everything that's encompassed into that. Eco-friendliness, we're trying to do a lot much better job at that, and accessibility, which has been on our mind for a long time, but we've never really had a metric for it. And so my most recent blog post from this past Monday was about accessibility in games in a variety of different categories. So if you think a lot about accessibility in games, feel free to check out that blog post to see how we're doing in that category. All right, I think I'm almost caught up on the e-newsletter. I'll continue to scroll down a little bit here, but let's see, I'll catch up on questions. Cody, I answered Cody's question, Gerson's question. Tony says that he picked up the painted versions of the metal tokens in Red Rising. We do have those available now, I think, on all web stores. So feel free to check those out if you've been waiting to get them. I think it should be on the Canadian web store too, but I will check that out after I get off this live cast. Someone wants to confirm that. If you can see the painted Red Rising metal tokens on the Canadian web store, feel free to let me know in the comments here. Bill says he buys the Rolling Realms packs in pairs. One to use and one to save. That makes sense, Bill. He says, would you consider a way to simply set aside packs as they print to collect them as a larger set? Simply set aside packs as they print to collect them as a larger set. I think I see what you're saying, Bill, but I think what we're going to do is just print enough, like more than enough. It's not that expensive for us to make these promo packs. So I'm okay kind of going deeper than we should into them so they last a long time. And that way there's no rush to get them. You can get them whenever you want. And they're there when you want them, basically. So I hope that solves the problem that you're asking for there. But if you're talking about a different problem that needs a different solution, let me know in the comments below. I'm happy to consider it. I need some water. Let's see. Gerald says he's looking forward to his copies of Rolling Realms and Arts and Architecture. What is your favorite illustration and also your favorite mechanism from Arts and Architecture? Shoot, I did a video about Arts and Architecture. I'm trying to remember my favorite mechanism. I think I probably talked about the Capital Cities, the new Advanced Capital Cities. It's not a mechanism specifically, but I just love what Mike did with the Capital Cities, where he gave each Capital City its own unique flavor and feel and puzzle. I really, really like that. My favorite illustration in Arts and Architecture, what would it be? I really love the box art. There's a lot of art that Andrew Bosley did in Arts and Architecture, but the box art is distinctive. It includes a little Easter egg of Megan and a kiwi on the far left. And so there's lots of illustrations I love, but that's one of them. Do you have a favorite? I guess you don't have it yet, but when you get to it, let me know what your favorite illustration in the new expansion is. Chad says, what am I reading right now? Or any new books that I've been reading? Yeah, so I just recently finished Jade Legacy, which is the third and I believe final book in the Green Bones saga. And I actually posted, this is on my mind because just yesterday I posted my top 10 favorite books of 2021. And my top three were Jade Legacy, and number three, The Empire's Ruin, by Brian Staveley, wonderful book, and Shards of Earth by Adrian Tchaikovsky, a fellow gamer, as far as I know. I think Adrian is a board gamer. Lots of great books. I'm looking at my list over here on my other computer. If you want to check out my personal blog, go to jamiestegmaier.com and you can see my top 10 books of 2021 that I read in 2021. Some of them are old releases. And what am I reading right now? I am reading, I'm reading the last book in the Expanse series and really, really enjoying that. It's pretty epic so far. I also posted on Monday my top 10 favorite movies of 2021. I won't bore you with the entire top 10. You can check it out again on jamiestegmaier.com. But my top three were Dune, Promising Young Woman, and Spider-Man No Way Home. A lot of streamed movies this year. A lot of movies that I purchased via streaming. But some really, really, surprisingly really, really good movies this year. What are you reading right now, Chad? I think Chad is the one that recommended Blake Crouch to me, and several books from Blake Crouch made my list, and I just saw that Blake Crouch has a new book coming out midway through 2022, so I pre-ordered that. I also got, Tim is watching here, Tim sent me a wonderful book of his poetry. Tim is a poet and also working on a novel, and so Tim Heerdink has a wonderful book of poetry that I've enjoyed recently as well. Quinn says, if you like being sneaky in games, then you might like a game that I'm finishing, Hungry Heist. Either you play raccoons stealing food from the cages at a zoo or the zookeepers trying to catch them. The biggest struggle I have is writing the rules so that someone could play by just reading them without help from me. Any tips that you can give? Rule writing is quite a feat. It is tough to do. I totally get that, Quince. I would recommend looking through your collection of games and using a few rule books that you found very easy to use to learn those games and following exactly the format of those rule books. Follow it section by section, example by example, and there's drop in information from your game. That should help a lot. I would also recommend writing in second person. So talk to the player as if you're explaining the game to them. Don't talk about like the player, talk about you. Say, gain a piece, gain $5, or now is the time for you to gain $5 rather than now is the time for the player to gain $5. I found that talking to the player in second person like that really, really helps communicate different things in the rules. But I just recommend looking at a few great rule books in your collection and using them for guidance. That's at least a starting point. Yeah. George says, have I played Boone Lake from Alexander Pfister? I have not. I love Alexander Pfister's works, but I have not played Boone Lake yet. He says, I've played it twice now, and it seems to have many similarities with Tapestry in terms of game mechanisms and income turns. I think you will like it. You know, I haven't heard much about it. Maybe it's caught up in freight shipping woes as well, so I will make a note about that and check it out. Thank you, George. I appreciate that recommendation. Sean says, have I watched Wheel of Time yet? I have. Yeah, we did finish it. He says, what are your thoughts? I'm trying to accept the new vision, but it's difficult knowing the completion of the series. I mostly enjoyed it. I thought at times it felt a little disjointed, but I think that's probably due to COVID-related filming restrictions. And for the most part, I enjoyed it. I am not all that tied to what happened in the books because I'm relatively new to the books. I did read many of them in 2020, but I'm okay with the series being different from the books. But I totally get if someone is really, really in love with the book series that they might be a little disappointed by some of the changes made in the show. But for the most part, I thought they did a good job. I kind of hope that Amazon throws even more money at it so that it can look even better in season two. I will say though, a show that we're watching right now that I think is absolutely amazing is Arcane. Arcane is the League of Legends based show from Riot Games. And it really is stunning. The animation style in it is absolutely beautiful. The direction of it, like where the director decides to place the camera in it, even though there is no camera, is really beautiful. Like the direction is top notch. The writing is great. It's a little dark at times, so I don't know if it's necessarily a kid's show, but teenagers plus and adults, those of you watching this, I think might really enjoy it. I'm blown away by the quality of it. And I think if a Stillmeyer game were to ever make its way onto the big screen or a TV show, I'd love to have it look that good and be that well written. That would be incredible. Also, we started watching The Witcher Season 2 yesterday, and I thought The Witcher Season 1 was a little bit of a mixed bag, but I really enjoyed the first episode. It was kind of what I wanted The Witcher to be. even from coming from someone who knows very little about The Witcher, but it just felt very Witcher-like, the first episode of season two. So I'm curious for those of you who have watched maybe all of season two already, if that continues, if you like season two more than season one, what are your thoughts there without spoiling anything? Jay confirmed, thank you, Jay. He confirmed that the painted metal cubes for Red Rising, that's one thing I can check off my list. Thank you, Jay, are now available on the Canadian web store. Jay says, any updates on arts and architecture fulfillment for Canadians? You should have gotten your shipping confirmation by now, Jay. And it's a little odd that you haven't because, as far as we know, Hubtrotter finished shipping everything out on Monday. So I don't know. I don't know if Joe is watching this. I can check on your order, Jay. But it is possible that the order has been prepared, but it hasn't been picked up by a courier yet. But the shipments did arrive, or the sh shipment did arrive last week, and Hubtrotter got to work very quickly at shipping it. And from what they told us, they shipped the last outstanding order on Monday of this week. So I will check on your order, Jay, to see if there's some other holdup there that we're not aware of, and I will look into it right away. Yeah, thanks for letting me know. Bill is one that mentioned the potentially a problem solution for Rolling Realms promo packs, and he says just trying to think of ways to save delivery cost, but in reflection, it's probably offset by storage issues. Yeah, it's more of an organizational issue, like asking someone at a fulfillment center to compile all the different promo packs together could be a bit of a hassle. Although we are already asking them to do that for shipment. So if you order both of our existing promo packs today, then they're gathering them from different cartons at the same time. Fortunately, they don't take up much storage space because we can fit so many of them in each carton. Looks like Walter wants to say hi here. Walter will join us for a question or two. Garden says, when you release a new game or expansion, how do you decide which content creator you want to create an instructional video? Normally, honestly, I just default to Rodney at Watch It Play because we have a long-standing relationship with him. And I think he does a great job. I make a lot of business decisions, for better or for worse, sometimes based on existing relationships. Like if I know that someone does a great job, that they communicate well, that they are high quality and a reasonable cost, then that I often default to them. And I think usually that works out. Like I've worked with Panda Manufacturing for a long time because I really like Panda's quality and communication. I like the people there. We have a relationship with them. Whenever I make a new game, I don't quote a bunch of different manufacturers. I just go to Panda because I know they do a good job. So I'm probably over-explaining this a little bit, but I know there are some other good content creators out there who make good instructional rules replacement videos. But so far I've worked with Rodney and I'll probably continue working with Rodney into the near future, unless he isn't available, or if he doesn't want to do one of our games, which I totally understand, he's a very busy guy, then I'm open to working with another content creator to do a rules replacement video instead. Yeah. Tim mentioned if I've read any good poetry books lately, and Tim, I'm probably behind on questions here, but you might have heard me mention your book a few seconds ago. Tony says, no, Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi was definitely an honorable mention. Where did it make it on my list? No, yeah, it didn't make it in my top 10. I really enjoyed watching it, but I found it, I haven't thought back about it all that much afterward. Whereas, I don't want to say a similar movie, but another movie that has that style of fighting in it, The Paper Tigers, I have thought about several times. So I really did enjoy Shang-Chi. I don't want to knock it. It made it into my honorable mentions here, but it just, for some reason, it didn't feel like one that would be a lasting effect on me and one that I may not watch again all that many times, although it was a really well done Marvel movie. I really did enjoy it. Yeah, I don't know. While I was making the list, it just didn't pop into my mind as one that would quite make the top 10. Chris says that he just finished the last Expanse book as well. I'm not done yet, but I'm reading it and I'm really enjoying it. I hope it concludes well in the last 60% of the book. Alex says, what's your best score in the mini golf course? Well, Alex, I am the multiplayer designer of our game, so I actually rarely play the solo versions of our own games. I trust Automa Factory to do a great job with them, and so I don't know. I haven't played the mini golf course yet in Rolling Realms. I've just done a lot of live plays. I'm gonna do a live play today with the new Rolling Realms promo realm for Rolling Realms. Looking forward to that this afternoon. Sean says that his New Year's resolution is to start reading books. He purchased the Scythe series and just got here yesterday, feeling excited. The Scythe series that Sean's talking about, I should say, is not related to Scythe, the tabletop game. It's by an author named Neil Schusterman, I believe. And it's a really good book. But yeah, a really interesting book series, a dystopian book series about a future where death has been eradicated. Like people just can't die anymore. And so the world finds a different way to make sure that people do die from time to time. It's a little dark, but in fact, it's very dark. But I enjoyed reading it. I like dystopian fiction. Oh, well, it looks like I'm way behind on questions now. So I'll try to catch up. Any other topics that I wanted to cover? I'll check on that real quick. Oh, we did when Megan's brother and sister-in-law were in town, they brought their dog with them. And so it was really fun to see the cats interact and be fairly brave with this dog and see this dog treat the cats really, really kindly, no aggressiveness at all. He kind of backed away from them if he ever thought they were feeling anxious. So it was nice to see that they could visit with their dog in the future and the cats might actually get along with the dog. In fact, I look forward to seeing them become a little better friends, and that would be really neat. I have a few more random topics here, but but I'll keep jumping in because I'm way behind on questions right now. I might skip over some comments just to make sure I don't miss any questions. Freddie says, could there be a Stillmeyer Riot crossover for a video series? Yeah, I think Riot must have worked with or bought a company to do the animation for Arcane. I don't know how they did that. I need to look into the making of it, but I don't want to spoil anything yet until we finish the series. So I'll look into that after I'm done. Kevin says, have I seen the Smart Gamer's Guide to Putting Games Away? He says, it's advocating sweeping all the components from the table into the box, loose with no bags, organization, whatever. Any thoughts? Wow. I can see that maybe working, but I do that with some components. Like some people really separate like each individual resource. But in the end, they end up in a pile back on the table anyway, so I don't do that. Like when I put away Lost Ruins of Arnak, all the resources end up back in the same bag. But having no bags organization whatsoever, I don't know if I would want to do that personally. But if someone finds joy in that, they're welcome to do that. Tony says that he binged Ted Lasso over the holidays and loved it. I do love Ted Lasso. Gavin says that he and his significant other both preferred season two Witcher over season one. I see a few people echoing that sentiment, which is great to hear. Tim says that he just started The Silent Sea on Netflix last night, another great Korean show. Tim has also recommended another Korean show that I'm forgetting right now that I haven't watched yet, but I need to. It's on my list. I did write it down on my list, so it's there for sure now. Joshua says, "Is there? In fact, there's another show called Yellow Jackets that someone recommended. I need to make a note of that. So many shows." Joshua says, "Is there a game mechanism that you love that you wish was utilized more in board games?" That's a tough one to answer off the top of my head, Joshua. One of them actually I recently encountered in Ark Nova has the card mechanism where you use cards as actions. And the longer that you don't use a card, the more powerful it becomes. And then you use it and it becomes instantly less powerful. And that you can upgrade the cards by flipping them over to make the abilities better. That is a really cool mechanism that I would love to see in more games. So far, as far as I know, it's only in Civ, A New Dawn, and Ark Nova. Let's see, a few other questions here. Gerald says, do you know if it's okay to use famous characters as Easter eggs without worrying about copyright? I think it's based on how they're presented a little bit. Like, if you look very closely at the tiles and tapestry, there are some famous fictional characters on those tiles, but they're so small that I don't think there's any risk of us getting in trouble there. But if you wanted to really feature them in some way, then you might want to look into copyright law. I don't know exactly the rules for doing that. Sean says, what are your current rules for your company to publish a game? Player count, visuals, components? Sean, I'd recommend checking out our submissions page on our website because it goes into detail about that. Like, visuals aren't impacted at all because we take care of visuals. Components, I mean, there needs to be a component hook, so some special component that really stands out. Again, we kind of take care of that, but if that's part of your pitch, that's really helpful. Player count, it needs to scale from as low as two to five or six players, and we'll add the solo mode. And everything else, I would check out the game submissions page on our website because there's a lot of details there about what we're looking for in our guidelines, our current guidelines. Yeah. Mark says, will there be an announcement what the new game for quarter one will be about? Yeah, when I announce it, you'll know what that new product is all about. And I'm hoping to announce it on February 2nd. I was hoping to announce it today. Tim mentions that the Korean show I was trying to think of is Hellbound on Netflix. Thank you, Tim, for reminding me about that. I'm pretty sure I wrote it down. I'll write it down again just to make sure. Chad says that he just started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine for the first time and he's loving it. Yeah, I'm glad you're checking that out, Chad. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm sad to see that it's over now, but I think there's like seven or eight great seasons to go back and watch if you're looking for a great half-hour lunchtime show. We're currently watching Arcane, I mentioned, and the last season of Pen 15 on Hulu as our lunchtime shows. George says, "How did I spend the New Year? Some quality time? The New Year, so New Year's Eve, we played disc golf, and then we hung out with a few friends at a small gathering, mostly outdoors because the weather was actually really nice here in St. Louis, and some indoors with masks. And then New Year's Day." What did we do New Year's Day? I think it was a pretty quiet day. Saturday? Oh no, New Year's Day was not. We said goodbye to Megan's brother and sister-in-law, and then I think we had a quiet afternoon. Definitely had a quiet Sunday. I feel like there was something else on Saturday that I'm forgetting, but mostly a quiet weekend. Oh, that's right. On Saturday, that's when I played Small World of Warcraft. Megan reminded me off camera, and we watched a movie. We watched some movies over the weekend. We watched Ron's Gone Wrong and something that I'm now forgetting. Yeah. Brett says, what do I think about games that hide something under the insert? And would you ever consider something like that in any of your games? We actually do have a game that has something under the insert. I won't spoil it here. But it's something that the game instructs you to look at the right time. So you don't need to go searching for it. I generally like it. If I mean I love the idea of it, and I like it when games can instruct you to go look there. I have heard there's some post on Facebook about a month ago where someone threw out the entire box of their game without looking under the insert. I don't know why they threw out a game box. Like it wasn't an expansion box. They threw out the game box itself and later learned that there was something under the insert. That is unfortunate. I think it's an edge case, but I do see that it can be problematic if someone really doesn't know to look there and it slips their attention for a long, long time. I get that. But in general, I like the idea of bringing joy to tabletops, and I think the joy of discovering something under an insert exceeds the relatively edge case problems where someone doesn't actually discover what's under there, or they throw it away and can never discover it. Because I think either a person is going to discover it by happenstance, or they know to check under inserts and they're going to find it, or someday, maybe deep in the future after they played the game a dozen times, they're going to read something online saying, "Hey, look under the insert in X game," and they're going to go look and find something cool. But I think in general, maybe it's the best way to do it is to include clear instructions in the rules to say, look under the insert at this time to discover this thing that we don't want you to look at yet. I think that's maybe the best way to do it. In general, though, I like it. John recommends the show Station 11. You know, I think I wrote that down just yesterday, but I will make a note about that just in case someone did recommend that to me. I appreciate that recommendation. Sean says, how do I feel about cosplay? It would be awesome to see you in cosplay on the announcement day of your next game. You know, I am not, I appreciate it. It sounds like your enthusiasm about cosplay, Sean. I am not much into Halloween or costumes or cosplay. I love that people get into it, that they're passionate about it, but it isn't something that I get excited about. Like, I have a friend who has dozens of costumes. She loves to dress up in costumes. She loves that aspect or that hobby almost. Just not something that I get into. So I think it's unlikely unless it's something really easy for me to do. I don't want to spend a month much of time on costumes because it's just not my passion. Yeah. Freddie says, does every Stonemaier game have Easter eggs in some way, shape, or form? I'm hesitant to say every game, but almost every game does. I'm thinking of Red Rising and Wingspan as the games that may not have Easter eggs. Although Red Rising is full of Easter eggs for Red Rising itself, I'm just not sure if it has Stonemaier Games references, and I'm also not sure that Wingspan does. Although we're changing that in the next Wingspan expansion, we have an Easter egg, a pretty hidden Easter egg that you'll have to search for in it. to find it. But I'm really excited about this one. The artist did a great job with it. Zach says he's just joining. He says, the other day when I noticed, I believe there's a ship on the red Stillmeyer champion shirt. Is that for past game or future teaser for a future game? Or am I just imagining the ship? I think there is a ship on it. What game did that come from? Do we have any games that currently involve ships? We have, oh, it's the airships. We have airships in many of our games, so we try to reference that in most of our games. That's the only thing I can think of right now off the top of my head. Yeah. Tony says, let's see. Okay, a long comment here, but I'll try to read through it. He says, our gaming group originally started 30 plus years ago as a role-playing game group. We switched to board games when grown-up responsibilities caused people to have to miss week to week. Because of this background, when we discovered legacy board games, we were quickly attracted to them, Charterstone being one of the first, and we have several to play. Now I'm worried that I'm leaning into legacy games too much, and I'm holding off on purchasing games like Sleeping Gods, which isn't a legacy game at all. It is a campaign game. When you're considering a game purchase, do you consider if you already have too many familiar games, regardless of positive press a new game might be getting? I'm sure that plays into my subconscious a little bit. Yeah, using Sleeping Gods as an example, if Sleeping Gods is a wonderful open world campaign game that I really enjoy and cooperative game, and so if there's another open world cooperative game that looks kind of similar, that does similar things, I might be a little hesitant to trying it. At the same time, I know that I really enjoyed Sleeping Gods, and so that might actually make me more likely to buy another game that's similar to it. I would say it maybe hits me a little bit harder with replayable games, so non-campaign games. Sleeping Gods is actually replayable, but it is also a campaign game. So games that, you just one-off games. If I have a game that's fairly similar to it in my collection, either mechanically or thematically or both, I might be a lot more hesitant to buy another game that has a very similar theme or approach. Yeah, I've kind of found it with Azul, the Azul series. I really love Azul Summer Pavilion, but having it makes me ha like that's when I want to scratch that Azul itch, that's the one that I want to go to, and so I don't necessarily feel a need to buy the other Azul games as well. Yeah. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, or if you've experienced that with like series of games like Azul, or just any similar games that use similar themes or mechanisms. Joshua says, "Have I enjoyed Renaissance fairs? My partner and I love them and do minimal cosplay. You know, as someone who loves medieval Europe and castles and knights and all that stuff, I've never actually been to a Renaissance fair, so I need to do that someday. Hopefully, post-pandemic, if there is a post-pandemic." I would love to try one someday, but I haven't done one yet. Segi says, do I have any sustainability goals for your games in 2022? I wouldn't say not specific to 2022, but in general, yes, we have a number of I think you're talking about eco-friendliness. There's various types of sustainability, but in terms of eco-friendliness, I posted two kind of very, very detailed blog posts about what we're doing, what we've already done, and what we are hoping to improve and do better in the very near future. Some of these things take time, but we are working on them. So there's a blog post. If you want to check it out, go to our website under the About menu. There is eco-friendliness, and you can see links. You can see a big graph of what we're doing and links to the two blog posts where I've detailed what we're doing, some of the challenges with what we're trying to do, and some of the things that we're hoping to do in the future. Yeah. Zhao Feng says, I just got the game Lovelace and Babbage. And he's about to try it out. Have I played it yet? No, I have not played that yet. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts after you play it. Ryan says he thinks that the ship on the Stillmeyer Champion shirt is the airship from the My Little Scythe expansion. That sounds likely. There's also airships in Charterstone. I think that's the two places where they appear. Yeah. Chad says, I recently helped with rule questions while I was watching Twitch streaming. They were streaming their first game of Scythe. Well, thank you, Chad, for helping out with that. I appreciate that. I wasn't wearing my orange shirt, but it still felt good to help people with rules questions. That's awesome. Yeah, I love hearing when people, ambassadors or otherwise, are there to help someone else learn a game and have a better experience playing a game. I really appreciate that. Yesterday, a few other random topics too. Yesterday it was my sister's birthday, so I sent her a little birthday note. I got to spend some quality time with my sister over the holiday break in Virginia as well, but happy birthday to my sister Emily. And things that I've been working on a little bit, I did a blog post on Monday about accessibility of our games, and my blog post the past Thursday was also pretty important, I think, where it was kind of an open call to action to you to create something meaningful to you in 2022. So feel free to check out that blog post if you've been itching to create something, not just have an idea, but actually make something, create something that doesn't exist yet. Feel free to check out that call to action and post it in the comments below if you want a little bit of accountability. Not the comments here, the comments on that blog post. This week I've been working through some playtester feedback on a few products that we're working on that, great playtester feedback. As always, I love our blind playtesters. They give incredible feedback. And I did mention that I was in Virginia over the holidays with my family. I got to spend a lot of quality time with my nieces and nephews. And my dad, who's taking a little break from chemo, working on his cancer right now. And it was always good to see him. Tough to see him go through the chemo and the cancer, but it was nice to see him after he wasn't on the chemo for a few weeks. Chemo really does a number on your body, or on his body. I haven't had to go through that yet personally. What else is going on here at Stonemar Games? I'm trying to think of anything that I'm working on today. I am working on some. So one of the things that we do during the design process, the development process really, is we send out a game or product, depending on what it is, to blind play testers. And they send us back feedback. I look through that feedback and I share what I think is really important with the designer. The designer also gets full access to all the feedback, but they also just maybe highlight some of the things that I mentioned. The designer takes those changes, implements them in the game or the product, whatever it is, and then sends me those changes to review and to think about. And usually I then play the game. Sometimes if I have a good feel for what the changes did, then it goes right back into blind playtesting. And so that's one of the things I'm doing today. There's a product where the designer has made their changes based on blind playtest feedback, and I'm going to review those changes today and offer my thoughts and notes. And again, probably play it again in the next couple of days. So I enjoy that process, that stage of development where we're trying to make things better. We already know things are working well. We're trying to make them a little more fun, a little more balanced, a little more intuitive, have the game flow a little better. I greatly enjoy that part of the process. I also need to work on some more of the promo realms, rolling realms, promo realms, because we have more non-Stonemaier publishing partners that are letting us use their games for inspiration for several of the realms. Freddie says, when do you think we'll get hear info about upcoming Stonemaier titles? The next one that I'm hoping to talk about is on February 2nd. That's the one that I was hoping to talk about this month, but it didn't happen due to freight shipping. And so depending on freight shipping, it will hopefully be February 2nd that I'll start talking about it. Let's see here. Facebook always acts a little weird with these questions. Tim says, have I considered donating via pre-orders or otherwise to cancer research? That's a good question, Tim. So what we usually do with pre-order signups is or pre-order launch signups, really. So if you are interested in a new product that we're releasing, typically a new game, and you say, send me a launch notification. You give us our email and say, send me a launch notification when it goes live. Then we donate a dollar to an organization that is thematically connected to that brand or that product, that game. And so we haven't had one that's connected directly to cancer, as far as I know, yet. But if there is one in the future, we'll happily consider doing that. But we have, through our annual charity auction, selected by the bloggers and content creators, they have selected a number of organizations that are cancer related. So we've probably donated at least $10,000 over the last couple of years to cancer research through that charity auction. Yeah. Quinn says, what are my goals for 2022? Funny you should ask. I am probably going to do a resolutions blog post, like business resolutions with some personal stuff mixed in there, on the Stonemaier Games blog tomorrow. Check out the blog tomorrow, I think, maybe next Monday, and see what some of my resolutions are. I'm still kind of processing them myself. But for Quince, he says, I want to show Hungry Heist game, his Hunger Heist game to a publisher, even if they don't want it or like it. I want to say that I did it and that I need to make changes. Like you said, make it flow better. And that's great. I love that goal of taking a game that you've created and presenting it to a publisher via their submission guidelines. So I hope you achieve that goal at the right time for you this year. Joe says, I just heard from our Canadian fulfillment center and they said all backlogged orders should be shipped by the end of the day today. The tracking emails aren't always sent immediately. They depend on how quickly a package is scanned into the courier system. So Jay asked about that earlier. Jay, I'm guessing, I don't want to guarantee it, but I'm 99% sure that your order is covered under what Joe mentioned there. Thanks, Joe, for chiming in with that update from Canadian Fulfillment. Chad says, are the Ruling Realms promos going to be available to retail eventually? He says, for my information, Alex has been a big help in keeping up stock for our Stillmire selection. Thank you, Chad. I'm happy to hear that. We do, as you know, we do have some products that we only sell through our web stores, and the promos are one of them. However, we are open to giving promos to retailers if those retailers are going above and beyond to support our products, specifically like if you ran a Rolling Realms event at your store to sell more copies of Rolling Realms for you and for us. Let us know about that, and we are happy to support those types of events with promo packs. I think I've talked about that with Alex, but I'll be specific about that so he knows that's an option when he talks to retailers. But maybe he can put that in next month's retailer e-newsletter. I'll make a note of that right now. So we're flexible with these promo packs. The main core of it is that if someone wants them, they can go to our website and buy them. But there are circumstances like at conventions and like I just mentioned, specific retailer-driven events where we are happy to provide the promo packs for people to either buy or get for free for participation. Yeah. Daniel says, opinions on how to recycle section in the rulebook. I know we should all put in the effort of learning to the applicable recycling rules, but I feel like adding this would go a long way and might enable someone new to recycle. Yeah, Daniel, that's something I thought about a little bit with our eco-friendliness endeavors over the last 6 months. How important that is, or asking myself, how important is that to have it on the box? Because, for example, I could print on a box that the type of recycling that's applicable for that box. But in general, I don't think of game boxes as things that people should recycle. Or if they do, they're probably going to toss it in with all their other cardboard and not think about it. And that's probably okay in most cases. There's also things like the insert. If we include a plastic insert, what's the appropriate way to recycle that? So Daniel, I don't know. I'm still kind of forming my opinion about it because I know for me, I am someone who actively recycles. And I think for anyone else who, or most people who actively recycle, they know kind of what they're allowed to recycle and what they can't. I would say the biggest thing that they don't know about is bubble wrap. Bubble wrap is very rarely recyclable. And if you throw it in with all the other recycling stuff, it can actually clog the recycling machines that process things like glass and plastic and cardboard. So don't mix that together. Currently, for the most part, you just have to throw away bubble wrap. Because it'll actually impede the recycling process. That's one thing that I think a lot of people don't know, and that type of information I do want to share, but our games don't come bubble wrapped, and so you don't have to think about bubble wrapping when you look at our games. So Daniel, yeah, I'm still that's something I'm processing. I'm thinking about I feel like it's the type of thing that will only help the people who most people who already know how to do that anyway, or who are just by default going to throw most things into the recycling bin and not read the little rule about it in the rule book. Those are my current thoughts about it. But I want to learn, I want to grow in that if you do have a different opinion. Ryan says, how do I approach publishers about the Rolling Realms promos? Do you assume they're familiar with the game? Do you briefly describe to them or link to videos? Then I assume you ask for permission to use specific games. So yeah, I kind of have a template email, Ryan, where I do all those things now. I say, here's what Rolling Realms is. Here's why it is also a living roll and write game. Here's a game of yours that I really love that I would love to feature, and here's what we need from you. And all we really need from the publisher is permission to do it and the box art so that we can use it on the little promo pack and in the background of the promo card. And if they want, they can provide a very rough concept of what they think the realm might be. And I can then run with it and design it from there. And sometimes there's a fan version of that realm already designed. And so I send them a link to that. And I say, hey, a fan already designed the realm. So we don't even need a concept. We have a great concept here, just your permission and the box art. We also pay them kind of a licensing fee, a one-time fee to just so it I don't know, to make it easy for them to say yes. And I also offer them a copy of the game. So in that email, I don't ask for an answer right away. I just say, you know, if you want to learn more about the game, just send me your address and I'll send you a copy of the game for you to check out and decide if it's something that you want to be a part of. And that's it. I don't want to burden any publishers. I don't want them to spend more than like 30 minutes on this really at all, because I know they're busy with their own games. And hopefully the money that I offer to them is worth that 30 minutes of time. Sean says, have I reevaluated collector's editions of games? I know you've done a lot of research polls into that. I was curious if sales matched the research. And I did a post about this in terms of Red Rising, because that's the most recent example of where we tried something where we released a retail version and a collector's edition at the same time. And we only offered one of them on our web store and not the other one. And I think for the most part, it worked fairly well, except that I made some mistakes in the production of the collector's edition itself. Beyond that, I think the system itself worked pretty well. Retailers seemed happy with it because they had a version of the game that people couldn't get from our web store, and customers seemed pretty happy with it in general, aside from the component mistakes. So yeah, I have an article about that if you want to dig deeper into it. It was specifically about Red Rising. I think it was maybe 5 or 6 months ago. But yeah, I'm still, I would say currently, we don't have any other products in the works where we're going to offer both a collector's or a deluxe and a standard version. We're just offering a single version of the game that hopefully will be perceived as a deluxe version, because that's typically the level of quality that we aim for. Philippe says, what's the thing that you are most proud of, Stonemaier Games related or not? The thing that I'm most proud of? Ah, that's tough. That's a great question. Tough one to answer on the spot. I would say in general, and it is related to Stonemaier Games, I think about the number of people whose livelihoods are greatly benefited by some things that, some hard work that they do, for sure, a lot of hard work that they've done, but also in being connected to something that we've done, that we've included them in, whether they're the designer of a game, or they're a contractor, or they're a third-party accessory maker who makes a bunch of money for selling inserts for one of our games. That feels really good to me. And I'm really, really proud of that. I guess the thing that I'm most proud of is bringing joy to tabletops worldwide. That's my mission. That's our mission to some of our games. But, when I think about kind of our growth, I think less about, you know, how that impacts us inwardly, and more about how that's impacted a bunch of other people whose livelihoods and their lives hopefully have been better because some of our games and our games exist. And I hope we can do that even more. I think we can do that, even better in the future. I hope that can continue to grow, that other people can benefit financially, really, and in other ways, and joyfully from our products. I'm proud of that. I definitely am proud of that. Yeah. Josh says, I haven't been able to take a look at your live videos in a while because work has been crazy. He says, the city in which I work had a major fire and burned down half the city. I hope to rewatch this weekend. Wow. Josh, I don't know if you want to name the city there. Trying to think in the news if I've seen. Oh, are you in Colorado? That's terrible. I hope you're okay, Josh, if you're over there. I heard that some of the towns in Colorado have gotten really hit hard by the fires. Yeah, I hope you're okay. Dominic says, bubble wrap is used in the shipping box to protect the game. That's true. That's a good point. We have been actually trying to eliminate that more and more. But you're right. Our fulfillment centers do use bubble wrap. And I wonder if maybe we can do better at letting people who order from us directly know that that bubble wrap cannot be recycled, unless very specifically in their area it can be recycled, which is pretty rare. That's a great point though, Dominic. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Chad says, what subject would you absolutely dominate in a trivia game? Probably nothing. Like, I'm the guy when I play trivia where I'm like, okay, I can picture it, but I don't know the word for it. I can't remember the name or the movie or the person who said that. So I don't know if there's many categories that I would really dominate at trivia. I did participate in a Zoom trivia night a few weeks ago and had a great time doing that. But it was more about the interactions than the trivia solving that is the fun for me at a trivia night. Let's see. Ryan says, if you're in the Seattle area, the company Ridwell recycles plastic film, including bubble wrap, threads, batteries, light bulbs, and other hard to recycle products for $12 a month. That's awesome, Ryan. I would love to see more of that in other areas, and I'm glad you have that in Seattle. Joshua says, have you ever thought about doing a segment on this live stream or another specific one where you answer board game design questions? Or do you know of anyone else in the industry that does this? I mean, that's part of what this is for, Joshua. I'm happy to answer any game design questions during this live cast. I hope people feel free to ask them. And also, if people aren't available to ask them live, the comments of my game design YouTube channel is a great place to have those conversations. I know that live is a little bit more fun, but that's those comments are I'm happy to talk about game design in the comments of my YouTube channel as well. Let's see. Daniel says there's been a lot of reporting on how most of the US does not recycle, and if they do, they do it wrong. To your point about the bubble wrap, for example, some people don't know that boxes with spot UV can't be recycled. I actually didn't know that either, Daniel. Spot UV is a weird thing. I heard from one person, 6 to 7 months ago when I was researching that spot UV is bad for the environment, but I actually then read some articles that said that it's actually better than not spot UV, but it not being able to be recycled would kick it back over to the side of it not being as good, in my opinion. So it's weird how the research about spot UV is a little bit mixed. We don't have many games that use spot UV, but it's interesting to know, and that's good to know that it can't be recycled. Josh confirms it was the Colorado fire. He says we're staying strong and working together to build back better. I hope you're okay, Josh. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And we're gonna end on a down note today because I do have to go now, but my thoughts are with you, with anyone else who's impacted by tragedies, sicknesses, fires, anything bad over the last few weeks or year. I'm with you. I'm here to help if I can. And yeah, I hope tomorrow and the next week and the next month is better than what came before. I'm gonna end on that note. I'm gonna go put this up on YouTube. So if you have any other questions or comments, I'll be there on YouTube. Thank you all for your comments and questions and insights. This is really, really helpful. And yeah, have a great day. I'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.